Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 260. It's Monday, September 28th, 2020. Everybody, welcome back to the Boop Show. And I got to ask right away, Brian Dunaway is holding a package of some sort of Star Wars-ness. What is this?
Not Star Wars. It's what is it? Moon Knight.
Oh, it's Moon Knight. It looked like a
legend.
On the back, I thought I was looking at a stormtrooper or something.
Yeah, it kind of looks like that, doesn't it? But yeah. Oh, look how sweet that got that from the Walgreens.
I don't know if
this is an exclusive to Walgreens. It usually says on it, but I thought I heard this was an exclusive to Walgreens, and I really like the Moon Knight. I'm almost dressed as Moon Knight today with white.
Yeah, you look great. I started reading a Moon Knight comic for the first time in a long time.
Oh, nice.
I've been reading Old Man Logan.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Really good, actually.
Is that on the Marvel Unlimited or is
it? It's on Marvel, and also Comixology happens to have that one as well right now. Yeah. So,
I switched over to the Comixology for a couple of titles, and I try to rotate between Marvel Unlimited and Comixology and whatever other thing I want.
Well, the thing I like about Comixology Unlimited is you get more indies over there. Well, I should say you get entirely indies over there. Meaning Marvel doesn't really have indies.
Right.
So if I want something weird from Image or some weird offshoot from Oni Press or IDW or something, that's where I'm going to get it. So I like to mix it up, man. I like to put, like to have multiple plates around my comics food intake.
And I'll do the Kindle Unlimited too. See that in the chat room. That allows me to jump between regular books and some comic books.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like all the rest of the streaming service. You have to decide. Usually once a month, I'll decide. It's like, all right, what am I doing this month?
That's the nice thing about it. You got choice, man. You can lock it out. Yeah. Lock it in.
Where did we read the Immortal Hulk? Where was that at? Was that on Marvel?
Marvel
Unlimited. I think.
Some of it was on Comixology, but it ended early, or they only had so many volumes, and then I picked the rest of it up at. Marvel Unlimited, which I really like if I'm reading Marvel stuff. When this new DC thing comes out, because the DC Universe thing's evolving back into just being a comic subscription.
Yeah.
Which I'm totally
fine
with.
I wish DC would get their crap together.
Well, I think they might be. Basically what they did is they went, what are we doing? We're at cross streams here. We're about to launch HBO Max with all this stuff, and we're trying to do something separate with DC Universe. This is dumb. Why aren't we doing them? And they're right. They're right to think that. That was a dumb move to begin with. Way better strategy. Give me a good, solid, many decades old comic collection of DC content for a low monthly price of $7 or whatever it is.
Man, I'd go back and read all the JLA stuff if they would.
I'll read it all
somewhere.
Yeah, I'd love all DC stuff. So anyway, comic stuff. Hey, one quick thing. I just pour one out today. Here, we need some music for this. Come on. Just a little. Turns out the game that was bigger than Fortnite in its heyday.
Right.
Farmville.
Farmville. Okay, I thought I was going to say PUBG. Okay, nope. Go ahead.
Farmville is breathing its last breath.
No.
At the end of this year, we close a chapter in gaming history. Farmville is no more.
No, that's not good.
It's not good. It means that that game isn't making any money anymore, but a lot of you don't realize this, but you have Farmville to thank for all the modern incarnations of microtransactions and
thanks a lot, Farmville.
Paid small content that you buy through apps and other things. So Farmville kind of started it all when it launched as a Facebook game back then. Remember when Facebook had games on it?
And, I played the crap out of Farmville back in the day, man. It was
cool.
It was cool. I don't know if it was cool, but it was definitely a game loop that I hadn't experienced in that platform. And it
I still play farming, like little farmer games, because I like that stuff. I don't like their free-to-play model, but anyway, if you wanted to pour one out today, we recommend doing it in the direction of Farmville, for it will soon be no more.
Right.
Bye, Farmville. Bye.
Bye, Farmville. We loved you greatly. Loved
you.
And now
you were great. You know,
yeah,
you were great. I love spending $2 on a freaking gem so I could make my crop go faster.
We'll have some nostalgia. It'll be on archive.org in 2030. Yeah. So, I mean,
plus, we'll have some nostalgia. Trust me, there are like, I don't know, 1,000 Farmville ripoffs still available.
Oh, so many.
So just go get one of those and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. But it is sad to see a passing of an original.
Fastidious says, thanks for ruining gaming, Farmville. That's
thanks
great
for true story.
I like to hear that in his most sincere voice when I read that.
Most sincere.
That's great. All right, now this. Oh, we're on the wrong thing. I'm on the wrong
thing. I don't know what that is, but I like it. What is that?
That's a boop there. That's a core thing, which is why I switched over to the Ken Burns thing. Hold on. There it is. That's the stuff right there. Hey, we're going to talk about it. Video games we played this week. Now, one of these for each of us is something that we missed to talk about last week because we went kind of deep into the whole why are we leaning Xbox this generation and that whole thing right before the pre-order. And
yeah, because we were mostly addressing Microsoft's acquisition of Bethesda, right?
Yeah, it was the big Bethesda thing. And there was plenty to talk about and kind of what we were going to do. And both, in fact, we should report on this real quick. We were both going to buy Xbox Series X's, and Brian was going to go to an actual GameStop and pick one up there and do it on the payment plan. Mm-hmm. Not pick one up, but pre-order one. I was going to
pre-orders this past Tuesday, I believe it was, correct?
Right. And I was going to do either lump sum or the other way, whichever was available basically was going to be what I was going to do. And I was going to do that on the same day via the web. And we figured between the two of us, we would have two different stories to tell. Sadly, we both kind of have the same story to tell, which is neither one of us could get one.
No pre-order in our hands.
How many did they have at the GameStop that before you got?
Okay, so I think they divvied us up based on the populations around the GameStops. According to what I saw, we had 8 and 2, and what that means is we had 8 Xbox Series X and 2 Xbox Series S. I'm assuming they went that route, thinking that most pre-orders would be for the bigger system, X.
Yeah. For day I'm one not even stuff, sure what I think that would be. I would have done that too if I were them. I would probably skew production toward launch day, or no, I'm sorry, pre-order day. People are all going for the big one.
Right.
Those are the cutting edge, like gotta have it. That's a smart business decision. And then you have more.
Yeah,
S's,
and I'd be saving those
Christmas.
S's for the Christmas time because that's when the moms are going to be out there, the moms and the dads picking up the smaller system for the kids, right?
Yeah. So I had the same problem. Nothing worked for me. I tried all the websites, did all the stuff. There was a couple of them. They said we're going to be retailers and they didn't have anything.
No, I tried Best Buy, Walmart, Target. I even waited online virtually with GameStop. I got in line at a physical GameStop with mask on, 6 foot distancing, and brought up the app. And I was in the waiting queue for about 24 hours. They said, do not refresh page. So I didn't. Mm. And I would just occasionally check just out of curiosity to see, what would happen. And I'll tell you what happened. Nothing.
Bupkis. Yeah.
Bupkis.
Yep. I tried just now and still nothing. So no.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be too concerned about it. We're just talking about pre-orders here. Hopefully this would be a good indication to Microsoft if they weren't already ramping up production that the demand for this will be pretty high. So hopefully they can adjust. Not only will they get the data, they'll also be able to act upon the data. I hope.
Yeah. Sony too. They got the same exact damn problem. So hopefully they get that stuff worked out for, hopefully it starts to smooth out as we get closer to the holiday season. Yeah. Stock will be available for those who want it. Both companies.
I mean, let's face it.
To do that.
I mean, I don't know how stellar of a difference it's going to be between my Xbox One and the Xbox Series X. I mean, but it's pretty much going to be probably pretty close to the same library though, right? Because I mean, it's just the Game Pass is where I'll be playing most of my games unless I pick up
everything that's available on Game Pass will be available day one. So you'll have tons to play. You just won't have, I mean, there'll be some launch games, but there's not going to be, you know, Halo Infinite's delayed. In Sony's case, they've got a couple of launch titles, which may or may not be any good, but they don't have the backlog. Although they do have the plus thing on day one where you'll be able to play God of War and some of that stuff.
Yes.
So that's cool if you haven't already played them. I've already played them. So
I have too, but yes. Yeah,
someone's excited somewhere about that.
Someone's excited.
Anyway, I know it sounds like I'm skewing toward Xbox, and I really am this time because the value's better, and I talked about that way, way too long last week, so I won't do it again.
Yeah, right.
If anyone out there finds out that, hey, one of these Xbox shook loose, I ordered two and only need one or whatever, you let us know. I know a couple guys that could go for one.
Aw, yeah.
All right, now let's talk about video games. Last week, I skipped a game for time called, and I didn't do it for any other reason, it was just for time. Swords and Magic and Stuff.
Wow. And Stuff is called And Stuff.
Oh, yeah. This is not me adding that there. That is actually the name. It's Swords and Magic and Stuff.
Stuff.
I don't know if it's all N, though. Is it? So the way I wrote it, Swords and Magic and Stuff is how they say it.
Yeah. And you just did the full and on the second part, but only a N in the middle between Swords and Magic.
That's how they do it. So I'm just doing it the way they did it. All right. You're looking at the screen right now, chat room, and what you're seeing is almost Minecrafty looking little square dude who's getting his clothes on and is choosing some stuff.
Getting his clothes
here.
On. And what a lot of different options for such a simple character.
There are a lot. You can do face. If you want to be an orc, cool. You want to be human? Great. You want to be an elf? Great. You want to be some kind of Tauren looking dude with like horns? Great.
You want to be Groot?
Yeah. Cool. You want to be Groot? You can be Groot. Not really. You can't be Groot. But, you basically,
it's got a little man bun.
Yeah, so you got a little man bun. This guy does. Basically, it's an RPG in a very traditional way. Like, despite its very simplistic approach to the graphics and stuff, you're basically just creating a character and you start inside a little, I think it's a ship, I believe, where you start as a boat. And then when you get off this boat, you'll go to the town and you talk to townspeople and they give you quests and they say, hey, can you roll up the road and pick me up 12 of these little monkey butts? And you say, sure, dude. And you go do that and you come back. He has a reward for you. And he's like, also, hey, here's an extra sword. And by the way, if you go up the street, you'll notice so-and-so Buggle Buns is up there and he'll give you some more quests to do or whatever.
Why are you talking to Nightcrawler right now?
He looks like Nightcrawler. So there are these dark elf characters that are basically just dark blue elves in the game. And again, they're big bobbly headed looking kind of goofy art style.
Yeah, this is very much like pop vinyl kind of things, except it's square, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not really Minecraft.
I would say Minecraft with better Minecraft without it trying to look pixely, you know?
Right.
Like everything's
rendered out and shadowed. Yeah, and I guess this probably rolls down to how much they just wanted to do with the texturing. And there's very little texture. It's very smooth textures.
Yeah. Very clean, very smooth. Like the wood on the walls, you know, it's just meant to look like wood slats. The floor is pretty basic.
Right.
It's done in Unity, so it doesn't have anything to do with anything except it looks nice. It actually kind of feels like a game.
I like knowing when stuff is done by Unity. There's Groot.
Yeah, there's Groot. Oh, yeah, did you see Groot there? Well, not Groot. That's just... What is that?
He's Woodman. He's a wood elf.
He is a wood elf. You're right. He's made out of wood. Oh, I didn't even notice that until I thought you were kidding about the group part. Anyway, you're on this boat. You do a couple of quests for this guy. He lets you off the boat. You get off and you go to the town, and the town's got shops and quest givers. And I'm describing an RPG because that's what it is. And it's a very accessible one. It's like, hey, y'all got kids? What if this was an RPG they could play without feeling overwhelmed? And I think that would be good for them. But for me, as someone who's played RPGs my whole life, and everything from simple ones to very complex ones, I found this to be a nice fresh breath of air because it's just kind of fun and goofy. Like, I just get to go do shit. And doing shit is fun.
Well, it looks fun. It just looks like a casual, you know, just... How's the story? Is the story like... deep, or is it not even there? Are you just can't wait to click the button to finish writing that?
You kind of want to hurry through it because nothing in the story so far is really jumping out at me. It's all really
I'm seeing
basic.
A lot of reading right now.
It's not that bad. It's like Animal Crossing reading. It's not horrible. In fact, they even have the little voice. It's all like fake English or whatever. It's a fun little thing. The environments are nice. The outdoor stuff is nice. Although this guy's got some chop, but probably just, I don't know, he's loading in textures or something.
Right. What'd you play this on? Did you play this on?
I played on PC. Got a PC code from the developer called Kindred Games. They both published and developed it. Came out on September 8th, 2020. So just earlier this month.
Nice.
The price currently.
But how much can a normal person expect to spend on such a fine RPG?
$19.99 is the current.
Wow. Price. Okay, that's not bad.
No, it's not bad. It's a good price. Yeah. I think it's worth that. I mean, maybe around 15 would have been a killer deal, but it's $5. It's not that.
Man, I see this on the Xbox Game Pass. This is the level of game I expect to see on the Xbox Game Pass. Like, I'll be going through the little indie games, and this would be like something that should pop up.
Is it on
this
there? I didn't know that.
I doubt it. I doubt. No. I'm just saying that this should be on there. This
I don't is think like, it's early access. I should check that. I don't think interesting. So.
Oh, there's crabs.
I would verify for
this
you.
This kid's got crabs.
I take it back. It's early access, so that's why it's not on Game Pass or anywhere else yet. But it is on Steam, currently enjoying a very positive reviews on Steam. And I like it. I like the art style. I like the simplicity of it. It's a really chill experience. The music's super chill. It's just a fun, kind of easy, approachable thing. Right. But it's still doing. It's got that loop you want, which is I killed a beaver and it gave me its pelt. And now I need three more of those, but also some money dropped. And guess what?
Killed a beaver.
I leveled up. And that means I get these skills now. And, you know, that whole thing is there.
If I was a lesser man, I'd make a joke about Scott killing the beaver.
You definitely could do that.
Wait, you're talking to the Mastel candle maker.
Yeah, there's a guy who makes candles.
So is there crafting here?
Oh, yeah, there's crafting if you want. If you want. I don't think you have to. You can mostly use your drops if you want. But it's a little bit like, what if we made a little MMO-like game that's not an MMO? That's
right.
Kind of what this is.
I feel like they went down the pop vinyl aisle and grabbed every cutesy face that pop vinyl does and plopped it into their game. Is that
maybe? I didn't really get that vibe till you mentioned it. I mean, I suppose they've
not
got,
that's not an insult. That's just I would, you know, if you want to look at a great resource for, you know, silly eyes and that kind of thing, I think that would be a great resource to have.
Yeah, it'd be all right.
Yeah,
it's really fun. I like it, and I'm excited to play it more. Again, it's early access, so, you know, a little.
Now, what class did you pick?
I did a orc. Actually, right. I think you don't pick a class.
Right.
At first, you just start doing stuff. Okay. I think I can get magic later, depending on what wands I find and that sort of thing. Right. So it's not that defined on the classes, but I went orc because the orcs just look stupid, little green heads, and, you know.
Yeah, well,
all that business.
What do you expect? Did you get to fish any?
You can totally fish. Oh, yeah, you can fish.
Oh, yeah.
There's fishing.
Did you fish for beavers?
I haven't fished for a single beaver. No. No beaver fishing. Okay.
That's
what we used to do in high school. We'd go beaver fishing on the weekend. that doesn't mean anything, guys. All right. Don't be right.
But doesn't it?
It doesn't.
It sounds dirty.
It may, but it really means nothing. We never hunted.
No one's ever
beaver.
Said that. I don't think those two words have ever.
Nope.
Been
this
combined.
This is all brand new conversation.
So wait. So I'm trying to figure out the target audience for this game. Now, certainly kids could play it because it is cutesy. It certainly is. Now, I see you visiting a lot of shops and, you know, like a bunch of stuff on the piers and stuff. Is there like a bar?
Yeah, you're in one. This one right here is a tavern, I think.
Oh, this is a shopkeep. So I was expecting, bait. You know, some full on.
No, this is a bait shop. She doesn't have any bait yet, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got that wrong. But there is a tavern in the thing. It's not. I wouldn't say this game's aimed at kids. I think it's just aimed at.
It just
people.
Happens to be that way.
I think
right?
it aims at. It's aimed at people who like to play video games and like RPGs. Like literally, what? I don't think there's anything else going on there.
Right.
So far,
we've only watched this guy do some ship stuff and hang around town. Does it get?
Oh,
deeper
yeah,
out
combat,
in the
there's combat, there's co-op, combat. By the way, I should have mentioned that, so you can play with your friends and go on little raids together and stuff. Let me see if it needs single player online co-op, partial controller support. The controller support I don't love yet. That'll probably come with time as they work on it.
Right.
The keyboard stuff is just better. I like it better.
Oh, yeah.
I go back and forth on games depending on what they are and whether I like them or not. But
right. Usually it's something this simple, you would think. I mean, it's just mostly just movement and some interacting and then swimming, apparently. This guy just fell in the water. Yeah. But yeah, that limited stuff, I'd usually just go, you know, controller. I mean, like if you're spell casting and crafting stuff, well, lots of times it's easier.
Yeah.
Have a keyboard.
I mean, this thing's just WASD for movement.
Yeah. It's pretty yeah. simple. And you could just use our Steam controller for that.
Ha! Oh, who? Yeah. Let me get right on that. Let me go plug that in. Where is that freaking thing? It's over in the corner, festering on its own, doing nothing.
Mine's still warm from the last time I used it.
Ooh, gross. So there it is. It's Swords and Magic and Stuff, 1999. Grab your friends, set out for an adventure in a world of swords, magic, and stuff. Discover tons of cool loot, uncover hidden secrets, and meet new friends and foes along the way. Make your mark and find a place to call home in this cute multiplayer open world RPG. I think it has giant potential, and I'm going to keep my eye on it. You might want to, too. So check it out.
I'm on it.
Tell me about... Let me skip down here. Tell me about Samurai Jack Battle Through Time. My daughter's been playing this, so what do you think of this?
I'm going to tell you about the Samurai Jack Battle Through Time. First of all, I'm going to say where I played it, because that may or may not be a factor for some people. I subscribed or resubscribed to the Apple Arcade, and this was the primary reason for doing that. This is an action third-person game with Samurai Jack taking place, not after the most recent season. I think it was 2017 when they finally came back and wrapped up the Samurai Jack series, yeah, a cartoon from the early 2000s.
By the way, that last season,
it was absolutely amazing, yeah. And it was so perfect. And this is after that, but yet it is before that, because you are Samurai Jack, playing as Samurai Jack, and Aku has decided that this takes place after, or like I guess in the end of the last episode. Okay. And he sends you back through time to fight some of your greatest battles that happened during the original series and during the original run.
Okay.
This uses cel shading, and like I said, it's mostly a third person game, but you do occasionally get into areas where you get kind of stuck into like almost like either side scrolling. And that part, I'll go ahead and say that was probably the weakest part of it. I hate to say the bad thing first, but I'm going to go ahead and get out of the way. There's no transition when you go from kind of, you know, fighting in any direction you want to. There's no visual transition, but then suddenly you'll be trying to go across a ledge and you'll feel like you're doing like a side scroller, because there's suddenly no control in any other direction. And it's a little bit jarring as far as the controls go.
My daughter called this a Zelda-like. Would you agree?
Gameplay-wise,
like
Zelda, right? Like Breath of the Wild, kind of Zelda-like.
Well, just kill stuff. There's three of them. Kill them. Right. There's a chest. Get the stuff out of the chest to unlock the new area. You know, Zelda stuff.
Yeah, and that's kind of accurate. But really, all you're doing is there's a couple of economies that you collect as you go along that allow you to upgrade your weapons and you know, the things you have, you collect different items and loot. So, I mean, yeah, in some ways it is, in some ways is kind of a throwback game. It's almost like this feels very much like it's could be in like a PS2 era, maybe kind of, game, or like a GameCube or something like that. So they kind of went retro as well on the gameplay. As it's a little bit lighter. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit lighter fare for adventure. I was a little bit frustrated with that as well, because when I was trying to upgrade my weapons, sometimes if you don't clear an area, sometimes I just want to go through an action game. I just want to run through, right? Yeah. And usually what happens is you have, as you progress, your level progresses as well. The more things you accomplish, your level goes up and you become more capable. In this case, you collect as you go along. And those things apply towards improvements in your abilities and so forth, which means that if there is only so much to collect in a certain area, if you don't go through and, you know, thoroughly clear everything out, you're going to be you're not going to get to the levels that you want later on in the game.
Should say that you captured this at 60 frames per second. We can only broadcast it at 30, but it looks
really
nice on your end. Yeah. Your video.
Yeah, well, I loved it. This is as far as the game goes. Okay, so we'll talk about the Apple Arcade for just a second here. The Apple Arcade, I wanted to re-explore it, and the reason why is the subject came up of Apple trying to basically stop some of this cloud gaming and some of the other gaming things that were coming to their platform through the App Store. And I thought, well, what are they trying to protect here? I know Apple Arcade just came out, what, maybe a year and a half ago, to where it really launched fully. How long has it been since Apple Arcade came out?
Came out about a year. It's about a year ago.
It is, yeah, I want to say it's about a year. I should have looked before. But I wanted to see what were they trying to protect. You know, I know they're trying to protect their economy, but also trying to probably protect their gaming platform. That's just very new, right? Still very new. And I wanted to see if there was any reason why I should not be annoyed, you know, right, that Apple has a decent gaming option. And so that's what this was at. I have a I do a lot of content creation, as you know, and so I have like an iPad, I have an iMac, and I have an iPhone, which is not really for content creation, but so I played this on all three. I played this on my iMac, I played it on my iPhone using my Kishi, which we had talked about in previous episode where I got a little controller for my iPhone. Yep. And I also played it on my iPad. Okay. There that is. Take a look at that. There's Kishi there.
Oh, yeah. Look at that add-on
controller.
How's that going? It's still slipping off while you're
a little razor. No, I've gotten kind of used to it. And like I said, that problem we had talked about last week of it kind of rocking back and forth on that one side. Yeah. I'm just a little more, you know, I'm learning how to hold it differently.
Okay.
So that's still working pretty good. Yeah. But like I said, Samurai Jack ran very well on both my, I just got like a 2018 regular iPad. It's not a pro or anything. And then I got an iMac, 27 inch 2019, fairly decent machine. And then I got my iPhone 7 and it ran great on all of them, but my iPhone 7 was really struggling. I mean, it was getting hot. Mm. It was getting way hot. Mm. As you can see here, the combat skills, you have to, you don't just unlock those by beating things up. You know, you have to slowly collect these flames. I forget exactly what they were called, that allows you to improve your combos, which is one of the most important parts of this Samurai Jack game is learning these combos and so you can defeat your enemies. By the way, there's a shopkeeper too, who's kind of always right ahead of you. He's always just a little bit ahead of you in this game. And so he's always seems to be in a pretty good place. They did a really good job of balancing that when you're needing to get to another area. That guy will be there waiting on you. And if you haven't collected enough resources to upgrade where you need to be, he'll get you there.
Need to be. Sure.
Yeah. But I loved revisiting, there's a lot of fan service here. I mean, being in these worlds.
Yeah.
Being in these worlds with Samurai Jack, if you're a fan of the cartoon, this fits right in. This is a love letter right in there. Dadgum you, Aku! You time controlling demon, you! But this is a full price game. If you're looking to pick it up on anywhere other than like the Apple Arcade,
yeah,
$5 a month if you're doing the Apple Arcade.
My daughter got it on Switch, and I think it was 19 or something. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah. Now just remember, this game is not a real long game. So if you're passionate about it, it's great. But it usually sells for about $40. It's about 6 hours of gameplay.
40. Jeez, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not going to be, you know, it's definitely an intellectual property here. It's Solel Limited is the developer and Adult Swim Games is the publisher. Mm. And like I said, it ain't free. That's for sure. Like I said, but the Apple Arcade is definitely your best value if you have an iPhone. It certainly, even on my 7, which is old and, you know, as old as crap, it still ran pretty good. I didn't play it. If you didn't have a controller like the Kishi I have, it has the thumb on screen controller. So you got your little thumb. Oh, here's my guy. Here's my guy who's the shop owner.
For those listening at home, there's
the samurai,
kind of dancing samurai. Oh, I know who that is. That's, he has a name in the show.
It's the samurai. The samurai. Yeah.
No, he's called something else. It's not just the samurai. Or does
I thought his name was just the samurai. You might be right.
Who am I thinking of? Maybe you're right.
Soleil. I said it incorrectly. Dice Tomato correct me in the chat room. I did not say. Did I not say Soleil? I thought I said Soleil.
I think you said Soleil. Soleil.
Soleil Limited.
Via Ligre.
But the original voice actors are back. There's not a lot of talking other than our shopkeeper here. Aku does a little bit of talking, but most of it's just you just, you know, satisfactorily either throw in some shurikens into some robots. By the way, if you never noticed in the old Samurai Jack, some people don't necessarily notice it, but he, you know, everything he fights is always robots.
Uh-huh.
And in the last season, there's actually bloodshed. Oh. In the last season, but you don't experience that here.
Okay.
This is all based in the old universe. Sure. Essentially.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, my daughter really liked it. She said that it was it fulfilled her Zelda need in a way. Yes. That she wasn't expecting. Just kind of that simple, you know, finish a bunch of enemies, figure out a tiny puzzle, unlock a upgrade, get out.
Kind of
need that she had, and it did that. So that's pretty.
Like I said, I really enjoyed it. I complained about a few things, but I mean, those are really so minor. I would definitely still. I don't know if I would spend $40 for 6 hours of Samurai Jack, but I might would if I saw it on sale for $25. Yeah. Probably, definitely, if you got the Apple Arcade already. That's one of their big titles for me. It's a must have if you're going to get that Apple Arcade.
It's a must have, they say.
Must have.
Yeah. Well, all right.
That's Samurai Jack. Mm-hmm. Battle Through Time.
Fan freaking tastic. Let me now tell you about another game that I played.
Oh, tell me.
And it's a game I'm excited about because it's like it knows me. Do you ever you ever play a video game and you're like, man? This game knows me, knows what I am,
right.
Who I am, what I want, and what I want.
Now, did Siri or Alexa suggest this to you?
None of that. No,
I didn't know you know. Okay, all right.
It was all recommended to me by my brain. So here's what it is. Good. It is called Art of Rally, and you hear the name Rally, you think racing. Well, you'd be right because it's all about rally racing, and I'm a huge fan of it because rally racing is basically my version of Dark Souls. It's like me against the world. The world's kicking my ass, and you got to learn how to handle the world and the cars. How you do it?
Holy Moses! I love this look.
It's got a cool look, right?
I like this racetrack.
So if you've seen the Dirt Rally games, Dirt Rally 1 or 2, you'll kind of have an idea of what rally games are. Pure rally games are—they're not races with other people on the same track at the same time. You're trying to beat times of other people on. Outdoor, you know, some track in the hills or the mountains of Paris or something, and you're trying to be the fastest.
There's
one.
There's petrol, right?
And it's one of those. It's funny. It's actually a rather serious rally game, but presented in this kind of cool low poly count,
right?
Almost top down view game, and nothing in the game or in the world like the
little people. Interesting.
Look at the little people. They're like little meeples.
Yeah, it's interesting. Oh, they look at that boy. You just did a GTA or somebody did a GTA looking thing. They just need to move out of the way. So that's
good. They never get hurt. Yeah, they just get out of the way.
Yeah. So it's kind of top down, but it's kind of like a 3/4 of a view behind it. Mm-hmm. Can you like zoom in or out, or is that pretty much your
I think this is only... the view. I'm not sure if I can adjust it. I haven't felt the need to because it's been fine. There's night versions of racing where your headlights are all the light you get and you kind of have to navigate that way. The presentation at first, you might look at it and go, oh, was this some kind of arcade racer? Like what is this? And I would say, no, this is like a serious rally game where you're tapping brakes, trying to be careful around those turns. You got to get used to how the cars handle. This guy's still getting used to it, which is okay because it took me forever.
He is kicking up some serious dirt back there or something.
Oh, yeah. But it's got that feeling of like constant, you're just... Finger, trigger, trigger, finger, trigger, trigger, finger. Like that, the rally games. And if you're out there listening and you know what I'm talking about, if you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Because that's what rally games are all about. There is no just hold the gas.
Finger, finger, trigger, trigger, finger, finger, trigger.
Slow down. Hit the brake at the right time. Drift only a little bit or else you're going to spin out of control. If you go through that
hit the fence.
You're going to fly off the edge. And like it is Dark Souls and the enemy is the road. And it's my zen. I get so... locked into this game type that I would just lose myself in it. I get tunnel vision and I just lose myself.
Isn't that great?
And the game knows this. The thing is called Art of Rally and the entire thing is all hippied up to be kind of zen-like. Like the interface between things when you unlock a new car, it doesn't go, shoom, new car or whatever. It goes, you've unlocked a new car and a freaking car floats from the sky down to the ground and you get to see it. And then decide if you want it next time. And all the music in between is all really soft and everything. And there's like Japanese flower tree petals floating by all the time. And like, it's meant to be, they're actually leaning into this thing I'm talking about, which is
right.
this Zen-like game experience, which is precisely what I want out of a game like this. So I feel like whoever made it, which in this case, they have a name, it's Kindred, or sorry, it's a Fun Selector Labs.
Yeah, Fun Selector.
Fun Selector Labs. They both published and developed it. It's like they sat around going, you know, we should just make one game where Scott will totally respond to this. Like
right.
They knew
right.
who I was. Because,
the car's got this nice little dirt kicking up behind it. It's got the old backfire coming out of the muffler. I mean, you can't run over people. You want to, but you're trying to, but you can't.
Yeah. I mean, you can try to, but you're not really.
You try to. I like it.
I really, really like zen. It. Boy, he did it.
How many different tracks does it have that you get to play through? I mean, did you get to play through many of them?
I started going through the career, and I'm probably only three major circuits through it.
Right.
But there's tons. There's tons of it.
Oh, yeah.
There's
because I like this where he's at now, but it's. I don't know. I'd probably get kind of bored after a while. I'm like, okay, different track.
Oh, there's tons of different tracks. This is just one. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it switched in just a little bit. It looks like you can come either back out a little bit or come in a little bit. The screen just
maybe a bit
zipped in or zipped out a little bit.
I never felt the need to change it, so it hasn't really been a problem for me. But
yeah,
you also gain damage and stuff like that, so you got to be careful. If you ram into a rock, you may have blown something, and between the next race, you're going to have to spend both money and time because it costs you time to do repairs.
just watching that crowd, it works like. So I'm always interested in game development, and it always intrigues me how people, how programmers manage groups of characters. Mm-hmm. And your car was just coming around the corner, and it was a group of people that were the spectators, and they were all near the side. But one fool was like out in the middle of the road.
Yep.
And so it's just curious. I guess once it gets to a certain point, If that collision box is outside a certain area, I guess it just I find that kind of stuff fascinating.
Yeah,
it was fun to watch that one guy just bounce
stuff.
Around.
That guy, and they'll never get hit, so they obviously are not adhering to physics very well. Whereas the car,
right.
Your actual driving model is super physics based. That's what I love about it.
Right,
it's the physics of the car, and it's ultra sort of realistic take on rally movement that really is jamming with me. Now here's you'll see this in a second because you're on delay, but. He's going to do another race first. Never mind. But I was hoping he was getting a new car and you could see this thing float out of the sky. And like,
oh.
It just does this whole thing in like this meditative way. And
I like what I'm seeing here, but I got to admit, wasn't sold by the name.
Oh, Art of Rally.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's not appropriate. I'm just saying that. If I'm skimming through the 6 million games I have to choose from, and I saw that title in a couple of screenshots, I'd be like, nah.
Yeah, but what would get you with a rally game? What name would get you?
Because I don't know. Was something better than that?
I just needed to see rally. So name something better.
I'm not giving away my brilliant ideas. I can tell you it was not right.
Yeah, you're going to hold on to those until you do your own rally game.
Right.
I think it's fine. Right. It doesn't bother me at all. In fact, I feel like it's... Oh, here we go. New car reveal. Look at this. Drops it down. New car unlocked.
Oh, look at that. I do like the scene. Now, that would sell me. If you showed me that animatic, I would be like, oh, look at that. Look at that. And then swipe back up. Yep. Am I like in God mode? What is going on
now? It's pretty great. It treats it all like this. That. And the interface for choosing like which stuff you're going to do. Look at that. This nice little chooser thing. It's just real clean.
And I like there are a bunch of old like rally cars.
Oh, yeah.
Like
you start in the 60s.
New hide. Yeah.
Look at
the Japanese tree, like you said. There it is. A little leaf falling down. Looks like confetti somewhat.
Yep. They're square, though, which is great. But you start in the 60s and you work your way up through the decades. Dirt Rally does this as well. It's a very common thing in these games. So anyway,
and you say this is a single player campaign or is it a
single player campaign? There are some multiplayer components to it. I want to say there's leaderboards. Let me just verify that so that I don't tell people.
Stray Wizard just nailed it. I would totally download Zoom Vroom. See, that would.
No, you wouldn't.
If you put Vroom Rally in your game, I would.
Nobody's buying anything called Vroom Valley. Not a chance in hell that name makes it. No way. I'll fight that one all the way to court. There's no way that's happening. All right, here it is. Single player, Steam achievements, full controller support, and it great controller support, by the way. Steam Cloud stats and Steam leaderboard. So it uses the Steam
leaderboard. Yeah, there you go.
So if you
those are always important in race games. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. But that, there's no head-to-head really in this because rally racing doesn't have head-to-head. It's not how it works.
Right.
They're very true to the sport itself. But see, like, look at this awesome-looking colored track. This is amazing, all these green hills and stuff. Anyway, I really like it a lot and would highly recommend it, especially for the price right now. It's $22.49. That's 10% off.
I was about to say, that's got to be on sale because that's not a regular sale price.
It's normally $25. Enjoying very high reviews on Steam so far. And people like, Kotaku AU says, knows exactly what it wants to be and hits the brief perfectly. It says, Hardcore Gamer says a must buy for anyone wanting a new twist on a well-regarded genre. And finally, God is Geek says, a genuine contender for 2020 Best Racer, 9.0 out of 10. People really like
it. Two things happened in this game that I just really enjoyed.
What's that?
First, the guy just nearly motorbiked down in the crowd, so they dispersed, and that was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
But also, when you got a lot of these tall trees that kind of interrupt your vision, and there's like a hole through the tree so you can see the car.
Yeah,
so I liked actually how they portrayed that in game.
It's a little circle. It'll happen anytime you get obscured like that and you get a little like a little scope of where your car is so that you're not, you're not totally out of the weeds, but it's enough to give you a, so you can at least kind of get an idea where you're
right. So do the crowds go whenever they almost get run over?
They're just cheering. I'm just going, okay. I really like it, though. Somebody somewhere is hearing me talk about this and getting super stoked, and you should be.
Oh, yeah, I am.
But you're not.
I've already forgotten what it was called. Ace Rally Trials. What was it again?
It's Art of Rally, not Vroom Media or whatever the hell you said before. What was it? I forgot what you said. Anyway.
Vroom Rally.
There it is. Available now. Okay. I need to know about Chuck's Challenge 3D. Now, that's a name I would change, but go ahead and tell me about it.
No. Okay, so the only reason why I was giving you so much trash about the previous game, because I knew I had coming up my personal favorite name of any game for a while, which is Chuck's Challenge 3D 2020. Oh, my God, don't do that.
All right.
I love the game, but I hate the name. So Chuck's Challenge is a continuation, or as I think maybe even it is a spiritual successor to Chip's Challenge, which was a part of a Windows 3.1 puzzle game pack. Or do you remember this Chip's Challenge? Do you remember anything about a Chip's Challenge on Windows 3.1?
Not a thing.
It was just, these grid-based Minesweeper looking challenges where you have to, in the least amount of moves, perform certain actions on the screen. Most of it involved collecting keys behind doors. So you would get a certain color key behind a door and you would be able to then open the doors up, and you have to do it in a certain pattern, and you want to do it in as few moves as possible within a certain time frame. Sure. So it lends itself, the whole gaming idea of Chip's Challenge lends itself to like leaderboards and that kind of thing.
Sure.
Well, this is Chuck's Challenge from the I don't know if he was the complete puzzle designer or the complete designer from the original, but has created a new one called Chuck's Challenge 3D 2020.
Why is there a t-shirt? That's the guy you're talking to. Never mind.
Yeah, okay, so you're playing as this guy. You are Chuck, and you are on vacation apparently in your Hawaiian shirt, and you've been commissioned by these alien looking creatures of sorts, or some kind of sprites. I don't know exactly what you would exactly call them, but they're challenging you to take on these challenges. And it is more of like what Chips was, except it's a little more, it's 3D instead of being top down, it's 3D. And there's a little bit more to it, especially in the fact where this game really shines, which is in the Steam Workshop. This game also has a builder of mazes and maps that you can build yourself and then upload to the Steam Workshop, and people can download those, rate them, and all try to accomplish each challenge. Each challenge is usually you face things like you just watched this character try to get around on a field, and part of that field had iced areas, iced tiles, and you first have to get the boots that allow you to walk on those before you got to that point. So it's puzzle solving, right? Mm-hmm. Lots of puzzle solving. Niffler Limited created and published this. It came out Monday, September the 21st, just recently. And I did received a game code for this for review. And it's got about 9 hours worth of gameplay through the main maps, but there's so much more possible with it.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and it is $10 on Steam, so very, very reasonably priced for the amount of gameplay you get out of this. But like I said, where it really shines is where you can create your own maps. And I played some of those user-made maps, and they were definitely harder. And of course, you're going to get different experiences because the guy who actually designed most of the maps in the main story, is a great puzzle designer. You know, has been doing it for years, knows what can be frustrating without being too frustrating. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then when you get people who are on the workshop, it may just be any yahoos who has decided to make a level insanely difficult.
Sure.
Or, like, you know, Mario, illogical.
Like Mario Maker or whatever.
Right. Make Mario Maker, that kind of stuff. Sure.
Yeah, I get
right.
it.
Oh, and by the way, so I told you it was $9.99. Now, this is on Steam, and as of right now, you can either get this game by itself, Chuck's Challenge 3D 2020 for $9.99, or you can get Chip's Challenge. It's like a remastered version. Doesn't look exactly like the original, but it's pretty much the same thing. You'll get that for free. You can get that anyway. You can go to Steam and get Chip's Challenge for free right now. Mm. Then there's some DLC content, and there's a Chip's Challenge 2, which is like $5. But if you just get the bundle for $9.50, you can get all three of those things for some weird reason.
Let me ask you this, though.
Right.
How much does this game have a maze in it? Because
how much does this game have a maze?
Because here, I just watched a level that had a maze, like a
like a
hedge maze kind of thing.
Oh yes. So some of it can be okay.
I hate mazes. I hate them so bad. I hate them as much as I hate freaking tower defense. I hate them.
Well, okay. So you'll notice right now what's happening is something different. You're not dealing with any mazes at all. You're dealing with other challenges. So each puzzle. Some can be mazes. Actually, some of them could have invisible hedges, and you have to actually figure out where it's at. And all of this is based on trying to beat the default time and then hit the leaderboards, and try to finish it as fast as you can. So you can replay these little, chapters over and over again until you get your best score. And you're not gonna run into. I didn't run into too many just flat out mazes.
Yeah.
Most of it was figure out how to get this block out of the way by doing this, or how to get to this part of the playboard, by equipping your character with this.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's not mazes. That I ran into very few just flat out mazes. It's mostly puzzles.
Right.
Based on movement. Okay. Like I said, you want
to that I like. And since it, I just don't.
Yeah.
Like
since
moving.
It's tile to tile that you're moving. That's part of the leaderboard thing, how to move to as few tiles as possible in the quickest amount of time possible.
Yeah.
So, just that little game.
Speedrunners are going to love this freaking thing.
Oh, that's exactly. Yeah. And I did actually pretty good. I got, I wasn't doing great all the time, but a couple of them I got like fourth place on one of the maps where I'd actually completed it quick enough. It was actually one of the easier ones. I don't know if anybody else is like, I'm not going back and doing that one. But I went back until I got it, until I nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've enjoyed it. Like I said, it's a simple game loop. Just, I would like to have this on the Switch probably. This would be like a good one just to lay in bed and just kind of, flick the fingers around a couple of times. Would you say press the trigger, press the finger, trigger, trigger?
Finger, finger, trigger, trigger.
I like to finger. Right.
Sorry, I'll stop now. I'll stop saying words now.
The original Chip's Challenge, if you really want to go back and look at how that looks, they have an archive.org, I think. I played it originally there because I never played it back on the Windows 3.1. Mm-hmm. And then I picked it up on the Steam version, the kind of remastered version.
Yeah.
I played it. It was a fair amount of fun. It was okay, but I would definitely probably play Chuck's Challenge. That's the most modern By the way, I was constantly hitting like bronze medals, hardly ever made it to silver or gold.
Yeah.
I suck.
Why? Why? What happened? What's the deal?
Like, oh, you know, just completing it in a, I was always wanting to get most of these tasks or puzzles are not overly difficult.
Yeah.
So I would get through with one and be like, okay, I want to try the next one.
Yeah.
I want to try the next one. Sure. And I was very rarely going back to, you know, to go back and play it over again.
Yeah.
So I was just constantly moving forward. I did have a little bit of trouble with my, I had used the controller. Oh, by the way, you can do rewinds and stuff. You can do undo.
Oh, really?
If you like just want to, yeah, if you just want to kind of go through the map until you want to, if you just want to figure it out and then, you know, go back later once you figure it out and then try to do your fastest speed run. But I did this with the controller and had a little bit of trouble sometimes. Sometimes it would like double tile move or move to a tile that I didn't want to go to.
Yeah.
And it was maybe a little bit too sensitive in that area, but I don't know if that was more on me or more on the controller, the game or what. But because, I mean, in one way, in order to do a really good speed run, you need it to be as responsive and as quick as possible. But then again, to avoid mistakes, you don't want it to be too sensitive.
Yeah.
So, well, Chuck's Challenge 3D right. 2020.
Chuck,
oh my gosh, Chuck. What Chuck's, a great title!
Chuck looks like an enemy in a Sonic game or something.
He does. Yeah, this is the first character that you play,
Chuck.
He's pretty basic. I don't think he has any special abilities, but different characters do start having, you know, as you go along, different. Once you clear that first area, that first stage, then you go into a different character.
Sure,
and they may have some differing talents that allow you to do certain things.
Is that a cat? Your cat is loud.
Oh my god, that's my deaf cat. That's Max. And we came across two abandoned kittens who were like, you know, 3-4 weeks old. And so we've been nursing them.
Yeah.
And
how do you know he's deaf?
Oh, how do I know he's deaf? Well, that's easy. Hey, Max. Max.
He doesn't respond or do anything. That's how you know.
No, he doesn't respond at all. And I suspected it pretty early on that he was deaf, but then we took him to the vet and we got it proof. But I mean, I was doing stuff like walking up behind him and slapping my, you know, clapping my hands and I wasn't getting anything. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
poke him in the butthole with your pinky. See what that does.
Yeah. That has nothing to do with hearing.
No, it doesn't. Does it? That's not,
but no, it doesn't. But but he has no idea how loud he is. So he'll come along and just like, good Lord, whale.
Yeah.
Whale.
He's a whaler, not a jailer.
Yeah.
All right.
He's a whaler, not a jailer.
On that note, let's do this.
It's me, Mario.
Time to play Guess My Game, where we play audio from old games and we try to guess what each other's game is. And I'm going to start because I always do. Brian, I'm going to tell you this game was on the N64 and that's all the help you're going to get. Good luck.
Mario 64. Oh,
sorry. Good luck.
Okay.
Welcome.
Options.
Welcome to Coventry Cove.
Coventry Cove.
Get ready. 3, 2, 1, go.
This is a racing game.
It's a racing game. You're right about that.
So it was the N64, you said?
Yep. EA published this, so Electronic Arts made it. Racing sound, so nothing crazy happens here.
This is Vroom Rally for the N64.
That would have been something I could see a name back then. All right, we got a winner in the chat room. It is Dice Tomato said Beetle Adventure Racing, and he is 100% correct.
Oh, I never played that one.
I love that game. It was
Beetle Adventure. So I'm assuming it was all Volkswagen Beetles.
100%. And it was all based on the new Beetle at the time, which had just come out.
Oh, yeah.
What year was that? Let's see.
2008.
I don't remember. No, it was in the 90s.
Right. Shit. I want to say it started in 98, right? And then when the Beetle came out.
Whenever the new-ish. Oh, here it is. Right. 94, they unveiled the concept.
Right.
And then 98. Yeah, it's that. So it's basically the resurgence of the Beetle. And basically every car you drive in this thing was one of those, just a different color.
Right.
And it was a blatant like advertisement for Beetles. But
well, yeah, in the title,
it had a rad game underneath. Like,
nice.
It was a weird thing. It was kind of like that Cool Spot 7-Up game, which should have been just shit. But instead, it was actually a pretty good little platformer. It's kind of like that. Right. We were just shocked around here at how much fun I was having. They had these great, weird and difficult to find shortcuts in the game. Some of the levels were just trippy. Like, I had more fun with this than I did Mario 64, Mario Kart 64, I should say. I liked this better as a racing experience.
Ooh, that's some dirty pool there. More fun than Mario 64. Oh, yeah,
that's a legit video game and should, I don't know, I'd play a redone one of these.
You would totally play that.
Oh, yeah. I don't care if it's, I mean, if it's a good game, it's a good game. So who cares? But did it have other cars? No, it just had Beetles.
I was about to say, I would feel totally cheated if there was anything other than Lindsay Lohan, a bunch of Beetles. Yeah. I would. Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan. Nice deep cut into the Herbie lore there. Nice
yeah, job. The Herbie, man. Yeah. People give her crap, but I enjoyed those stupid movies.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with Dice Tomato that it's a different kind of fun than Mario Kart. Mario Kart featured horrible rubber banding. And I will always be mad at that game N64. For that. So for me, it was this Beetle game. When it came out, I was like, this is what I'm playing. This is what I'm going to play. This game's
so
great.
I'm playing. Let's do it.
I loved it. So
I don't remember anything. I'll be honest. I don't remember anything about that, but it sounded fantastic. The audio sounded great.
Plus you got that guy. I love games where a guy goes single player.
Yeah. Single player. How about now?
And when you choose the car, it goes nice wheels. And it's just stupid.
Getting your Beetle.
That's right.
Is that Lindsay Lohan?
I'm going to play your thing now. And you're going to tell me, what are you going to tell me? Any hints?
I'm going to tell you that the year is 1993.
All right.
The year is 1993, and I want to say which console was this on or which platform. Start playing, and I'll tell you what platform it was on. I'm trying to remember where I played. I know where I played it, but I'm not sure if that was the only place or if that was the de facto place.
I just got to say good ear to Dice Tomato for catching that. I can't believe you got it.
Oh, yeah.
Barely any audio. All right, I'm going to play it. Here you go.
Yeah, it was 1993. It's a platformer.
93, you say?
Okay. Yeah. You could have found this in a lot of things, but I played it on the Sega Genesis.
Genesis?
It was also on the SNES, Game Boy, Amiga DOS, and the Sega Mark III.
Okay.
Oh, and DOS.
This isn't that spot game, is it?
It is totally the Cool Spot.
We've done this one before, haven't we?
I know. Dude, I could never resist a chance to put the Cool Spot in here because just talking about it last week.
Yeah, we just talked about it. That audio that's playing is the SNES version. And I can tell because the audio on the Genesis version wasn't as good.
And we haven't done it it's been like 2 years since we've done it. It's like one of the first ones we ever did, I think.
Yeah, it was very early on. You're not right. Wrong. No, that's great. That game was good, better than it should have been. I can't believe.
Oh my god, it's still so good. Oh, I don't. What else challenges it? Did you ever play the Dino Doritos? I think it was. Is that
no?
Did you ever play that? You know what I'm talking about?
No. The closest thing that I can think of for a branded game that I actually liked, but mostly just because it was weird, was that 360 Burger King game where the king snuck around.
The king, was it the king and the big head? Was that
Sneaky King? Sneak King?
Sneak King. They had a couple of games. They had a bunch of little mini games. I think one was like a cart, wasn't it? Am I remember that right?
It's Sneak King 360. Yeah, this is it. It's called Sneak King. They gave you this. You could buy it for $10 at a Burger King. And it was basically a stealth game where you basically had puzzles, but you had to sneak around as the Burger King King. It was shit. It was shit, but it was great. It was great.
Doritos Dash of Destruction was the one I was thinking about.
Is that what era? What console? What are we
talking about? Let's see. I remember seeing like an arcade version, but let's see what we had here. Doritos Dash of Destruction. Oh, is this arcade? Apparently, from let's see if they reported it.
Well, what's Doritos Crash Course? Because that was on 360.
Oh yeah, so it was on the 360. Yeah, it was on the Xbox Arcade. Xbox Arcade. Okay.
It says right here, Doritos Crash Course. 420D side-scrolling platforming game developed by Wanako Video Games for the 360. It was released as free. As one of the finalists for the Unlock Xbox competition sponsored by Doritos alongside Harm's Way. The concept of the game was designed by Jill Robertson from Raleigh, North Carolina, inspired by Japanese game shows such as Sasuke. By December 29, 2010, the game was announced the winner and the second of the second Unlock competition. The game received positive reviews from critics. So people liked it.
Yeah, it's amazing that some of this trash is actually decent. Now, you mentioned about the Sneak King.
Yeah.
But I think I was remembering the big bumping, which was one of the three games that came out for these King games. And it was a bumper car.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I totally remember that.
Dude, we need to like emulate some of these and do like a stream of crappy commercial
I just found out something hilarious.
Surely this is abandonware, right? Surely this is to be had by anyone who wants it, right? I mean,
I don't know.
Surely.
I just know I want Doritos now. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah. Oh, look at this. So it's like, it is like Wipeout.
Oh.
The game show
Doritos Wipeout. Crash Coursed.
Oh, and that freaking 360.
Oh, God, I forgot all about the 360.
This makes me feel weird. Look. This makes you feel weird. Okay, I'm going to skip
it. It makes me feel weird. Like I'm traveling back in time. I feel like Aku has sent me back in time. Oh, my God. This is so.
I remember this now.
This is so.
It is that. It's basically Wipeout.
It is Wipeout. Absolutely Wipeout.
Where do the Doritos come in? What do they do?
Maybe. Right. I mean, at least the cool spot was that big spot, right? That was something.
Yeah, there are no Doritos in your Dorito game.
I mean, do you win the Doritos?
Jeff Goldblum. Are we you are going to actually have Doritos in your Dorito game.
Are we to assume this guy smells like Doritos? Is that like
no? He's got Dorito feet.
That'd be great. So whenever it gets hard to run, he can just sprinkle some Doritos dust and just gain some traction.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Needs to power back up. Lick a Cool Ranch Dorito. It would be.
Maybe this was fun. Fantastic. I don't know what to think of this.
But I'm with you. I don't see where I don't feel like I'm not getting a heavy vibe Doritos though.
No, looking not at this. All.
This is more like a game sponsored by Doritos. He's wearing a Doritos shirt, I think. Yeah, is that what's going on?
I mean, I'm sure there's Doritos marketing all over the damn thing, but there's no
right.
Yeah, no direct Dorito business happening.
I would like to have a 7-Up Doritos game. I would sign up for that.
Would you play? Why? What would that even be? What would a 7-Up Doritos game be?
I mean, you'd like tag team spot, right? I mean, that would have to be a thing.
Put them in Smash Brothers. Done.
Yeah, done. Done.
Done deal.
Oh, the Mortal Kombat of best marketing mascots. The King versus Cool Spot.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. Let's do it. All right, time to read an email. This is a short one. But an interesting one. This is from Ricky Webb.
Ricky!
Two B's. He wrote into boopshow@gmail.com. Please use that email address, people listening at home. We want to hear from you. boopshow@gmail.com. Boopshow.com. Ricky says, hey guys, love the show. I don't get why you want a console when you have good PCs. Please explain. Ricky.
This is the most passive-aggressive email we've gotten in a while. Love it. Right,
look, the reason that I would want a PlayStation is exclusives. The reason I want an Xbox is for Game Pass and shared saves and being able to have a console, a powerful console on a TV somewhere in the house and have that ecosystem shared with what I do on PC. That's as simple as that. Plus, for the show,
is because sometimes I don't feel like being hassled by a PC because I'll be honest with you, my experience with PC gaming is directly affected by how smooth it runs and how much hoop jumping I have to do. Whereas a console, I mean, you just turn the stupid game on.
It's yeah, good. I don't feel like I've got a rig where I don't have to mess with things very often. But when I do, it annoys me. With a console, you just turn it on and play it. And there's something
just
about
turn on and play it. Yeah. But with that said, we like both. But yeah, I like both
mainly because I need both for what I do. But if I was just somebody who was like wanted to get into gaming but didn't want to constantly keep up with the PC upgrade pace,
right?
I'd probably get one.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, I've had this discussion many times in the past. I mean, it is almost absolutely. Can you get a better experience on a PC than a console? Absolutely. Consoles are locked into a certain technology, which is good because that means the developers can streamline everything and have a consistent experience. But can you get an even nicer and even more cutting edge on PC? Absolutely. But you're not going to find a PC that's going to game anywhere near console level for the same price in most cases. I mean,
well, no, especially at the beginning of the generation.
Yeah, beginning of the cycle.
They're going to come out and they're going to be hot to shoot. But also, hey, this is not a exponential change over the last generation. These consoles, the previous consoles are already pretty capable and still looked good. New games on those consoles looked great. This is next level, but it's not in the same way it used to be. This isn't going from PS1 to a PS2 or even a PS2 to a PS3 or a Xbox original to Xbox 360. Those jumps were much more generational, much more marked as like, whoa, huge leap. This has got some big leaps within smaller leaps, but it's not the same kind of leap. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with this. It just means we're kind of at the top of that curve a little bit. Mm-hmm. And PC games and new console games right now are going to look a lot like alike for a long time. And I think at the end of that cycle, you're going to see them still look good. It's not going to be like it used to be. It just isn't. So
right.
SSD technology, a lot of other stuff play into it. The point is, I'm not arguing one way or the other. If somebody can't do the PC thing, console's totally the way to go. If you want to go all out and be as maxed out on the PC as you can, it's going to cost you. But yes, go ahead and do it. In my case, I need the experience on both ends for stuff I do for work. But also, I like to just plop on the couch, hit play, and go.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to play that way. Sometimes I don't want to be in this seat going, okay, can I change my key input to BE instead of Q? And like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just want to sit down and just get into it. That's all.
Now, I think probably his difference is, too, between, you know, we game fast, right? I mean, we jump from game to game really quickly, and I don't have time to sit and fiddle with some settings. But when I used to, man, when I was a hardcore PC gamer,
tweaker,
I used to love, modding stuff and getting in there and getting. I'd pick one game and I'd play it for months.
Yeah, Brian's a tweaker. He'd take his cocaine and tweak.
I'm a tweaker. Yep. I'm a squeaker.
I'm a leaker and I'm a deeker. I know what song you're doing. I've heard
Vroom Rally.
Check it out
today
on consoles now. Thanks, Ricky Webb, for your email. Boopshow@gmail.com is the email address to use, and we recommend doing it on the frequent. We'd love to read more of them. That again is boopshow@gmail.com. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. You can find us on Twitter @boopshow. Brian's Brian Dunaway. I'm @ScottJohnson. And you can find the show at Boop Show. I already mentioned that, so that's redundant. And that's it. That's the show. Brian, as always, I like this little tradition where you share a little important little moment with us. What do you got for us? What are you going to say before we go?
Oh, sure. Well, I want to talk about this. I beat a bloke in the chat room, sent me this surprise gift package of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Star Trek style.
Whoa.
I got four of these. These are really interesting. I just wanted to say thank you for that because I just saw IBD Bloke pop in the chat room.
Chat?
Just
happened to be with very arm's generous. Length. Yeah, he's the best.
Yeah.
He sent me, I got my No Man's Sky ship, which I'm playing. I'm going to try out this week because I got that update. Looks.
I awesome. Can't wait to open this later.
Open it now. All right, don't open it now. Do it whenever you want. It's going to do it, everybody. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening at home. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. It helps us out a lot. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, for all of you. See you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.
I wasn't supposed to start over.